Hello and welcome to another episode of Inside OSU, Oklahoma State University's signature podcast. I'm Dr. Kenneth Sewell, Vice President for Research here at OSU. Our scientists and scholars are conducting cutting-edge research in a wide array of fields, placing OSU among the nation's top tier of research universities. In today's podcast, you'll listen in on the January edition of OSU Research on Tap, the monthly show I host at Stillwater's Iron Monk Brewery. There I talked with Dr. Maude Bilbasi, Regents Professor of Architecture and member of the exclusive group at OSU designated as eminent faculty. Dr. Bilbasi and I discussed his novel and award-winning approach to architectural graphic design based on the concept of authenticity. Maude, I first came to know you and of your work throughout the architectural world when you were nominated for that eminent faculty member. I got to be on the review committee for that, became familiar with it. And you and your colleagues were gushing about your hand-drawn designs. Now, I thought architectural drawings were all done by computer these days. So what do you gain when you draw by hand?
By hand. I'm so glad you asked. And thank you so much. I hope you voted for me. But it's the architects or the architectural engineers' ability to express themselves by using their hands is just arch when it comes to their modus, it's how they behave. The problem with computers is that everybody has one, and usually whenever the architects and the architecture engineers become very seasoned, they start to develop these images about what they are trying to do through their mind. And then you have to communicate that. So the only way to communicate it will be to actually just to draw it. This is the language that we use. Some architects, for example, are so verbally gifted, so they will be able to actually just describe it for you and so on and so forth. But ideally speaking, it would be actually the ability to speak very well, but at the same time to be able to graphically depict what you see. Because what happens is that the client comes to the architect, says, I would like this, 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 this. And they tend to be actually quantitative. And all of a sudden, the architect just mulls it through and be able to come up with some kind of a, like a scheme or how I intend to solve what you actually gave me, be able to communicate via a few drawings.
You've used a term that I really like. It's, well, a couple of terms. One is authenticity in these drawings, and the other is authorship.
Yeah, three things.
Those?
It really started, and I hope I don't sound like I am lecturing because this is very informal. But the idea behind it is very simple. I started being interested in what we call this culturally biased graphic communication.
Culturally biased.
Yes, which means actually people from certain parts of the world, and I have to be very careful, being able to actually communicate graphically very well or very poorly based on their environments. It's like as if they are genetically written so that they can actually, I know, don't throw things at me, please, leave these bottles. But what it is, for example, after teaching for more than 30 years, almost 40 years, is that we noticed that students from Southeast Asia are very good with drawings.
Really?
At the same time, from other locations, did you notice? I didn't say. Is that it's like, seriously, like, do you have all thumbs? It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just. And it is not just a matter of that, did you get any, like, training or something like that? It's just, I try to think of it like sometimes maybe the fact that in the jungles in Borneo, that there is no horizon. Everything is very close to you, so you're always in focus versus being in some other parts of the world in which it is, the horizon is actually just literally thousands of miles away. So your body adapts to it, your mind adapts to it, and all of a sudden, your ability to communicate graphically, it's not necessarily bad, but it's different.
Different.
Yes,
right.
Different.
Different.
Later on, is that I started there, and later on is that because of computers and what have you, is that in the old days, the architects used to be able to, and architecture engineers used to be able to communicate via drawings. Literally, it's just like we draw. And drawings for an architect, it's almost as a prophetic event. And that's because...
You said prophetic, correct? Like a prophet.
Yes, like yeah, absolutely. And you are trying to actually just tell the client, is like, give me your money and what do you want? And it might look like this. Usually in the old days is that you would provide a few drawings. Many of these drawings are what we call orthographic projections, like floor plans and elevations, which are actually literally bizarre, unique ways of looking at things that human beings don't even perceive space like that. Everything is flat. I hope that, for example, I look very small compared to the person next to you because of perspective. It's normal. But architects, and don't throw things at me as architects yet, today I looked it up and says 40% of practicing architects don't draw by hand. Which means
never.
This means actually they are not good at it. And many of you is like, oh, this is ridiculous. Give me my money back. No, no, no. But what it is now we have actually computers which made people who are cannot actually communicate graphically, it can help them.
Find another way.
It's amazing. We have got some software. It's like the first Blade Runner movie, Tyrell, says more real than real. I look at it, it's like, whoa, teach me.
Yeah.
Because in the old days is that you have to actually know how to draw. This is how you communicate. But now we have all these computer programs. They are so easy to use. We have even sliders that makes the brick look like it's old. It's like the sky. How many clouds do you need and so on and so forth. So all of a sudden, and I promise I will stop, all of a sudden architectural drawings, they become extractions. This means you feed it information and then you can get a drawing from it.
So does that risk the authenticity?
Thank you very much. So the question is this, three things. Number one is authorship. It's like, well, who is doing this work? Seriously, because really it's just like, oh, we can just... The other day at one... Can I say Walmart? Yeah. At some kind of a big store that sells stuff. And they have actually be your own architects for $5. It was on sale right next to like Police Academy movie. Wow. I bought it and I said, let me try it. You know, it's not bad. But this is one is like, who is doing the work? The other one is authenticity. But when I say authenticity, I mean by it is like, how close is it to the design intent, if that makes sense. And the other one, it is authorship, authenticity, and then truthfulness. You know, seriously, and you are coming to the architect, you are actually just, architectural services are not very expensive.
I've also come to know of your work that you do with things other than architectural forms.
Yeah.
And in fact, recently there was an exhibit at the OSU Museum of Art that featured some of your work. You're well followed in social media on some of your work. So the question I have is, are you primarily an architect who's also an artist who's also an architect, both, neither? Help me understand. How do I make sense out of that?
Dr. Sewell is, I am genuinely an architect. And the things that I do, I mean, the things that I actually do is a lot of the things that I would love to do is that there is no client that's gonna let me do it. So I draw it. You know, it's not bad. I look at it and I imagine it's like, yeah, that is happening right here on Duck Street. It will never happen in my dreams. You know, who knows, maybe one day somebody's gonna, you know what, I'm gonna trust you and let you do it. Not that I did not do any architecture, by the way, I did. But usually it's like the budget is $5 and there's no place to put it, so.
Well, I got an email from my 92-year-old uncle after he read that we were doing this show today, and he told me which two items he wants.
Okay.
One of them is the Raven.
Yeah.
And the other, the recent Raven, the other is the Bullet.
The Bullet.
Picture of
consider
Bullet.
Consider it done. No,
no
problem.
I'm only playing.
And yet, seriously, the reason behind it, actually, if I may say, is I came to this country and my English was really pathetic and my mother dressed me funny. So, and I am showing my age. Dr. Hanser, who taught history, he used to shoot slides. And he will have like 135, and he covers them in half an hour. He's like speed, and I cannot actually just take notes. So I taught myself to draw these slides so that I would remember.
Interesting.
It's really, the new students, you know, your guys are amazing. It's like, oh, we will put the PowerPoint online. You can review it. At that time, it's like, I have no clue what I saw.
Now, at least in the architectural realm, it seems clear to me that you don't just imagine a building and then draw it. You have a process.
Yeah.
Probably more than one drawing?
Yeah.
So talk to me about that process.
Thank you for asking. And actually, if you think that I am, there is some truthfulness issues in what I say, my beautiful wife is over there and you can just ask her. Anything that I do, actually, I do studies for it that is immense. And I suffer, because of architecture, from a general lack of sleep, and I don't watch TV. So actually, I have a lot of time. I read a lot, I listen to music, and a lot of the times, these ideas that we see, they stay right here and they generate imagery. And I cannot actually just like come into peace with them until I draw them. So I wake up in the morning very early and I start sketching them, and then I will revisit them again, and I will be obsessed with them for like a period of time. Like lately I've been just dreaming about eggs that has got eyes in them. I swear to God, I'm normal. I got tested. But I mean, it's just that. But it's kind of, no, like it's bizarre. It's really bizarre. So all of a sudden that becomes the topic, and it comes on and on and on until eventually, like, I come into grips with it and it goes away.
So with an architectural task, is that how you know you, quote, have it?
Yeah, it is. And this means I communicate via these images.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I just literally, it's a, just like, his name is Hagberg. He says like the art of aesthetics. He just says that art, and we'll just talk art, architecture, it's the same as language. The only problem is that, but with language, it's sequential. But with art, it's not sequential. Whenever you look at it, you start from left to right and from top to bottom. And if you go to other locations in the world, they read them from right to left and from top to bottom. And in art, you can look at it from everywhere. You cannot just say, please, start here and end over there.
Yeah.
So there are issues with that. It's really very hard, you know, being able. But being an artist, it's self-referential. This means I can do it. You don't like it, who cares? But whenever you're an architect, it's like, no, I promised you something and I'm gonna deliver, so I'm gonna do my best so that I can be as truthful as possible. And hold on a second, in command with the machine that is producing the imagery versus what we call extractions. You put all the information and you go, is this what you're gonna get? It seems so. Congratulations.
Right. Turns out that's the building.
It turns out, yeah, this is what you get. And actually, I'm not joking. Probably many buildings on campus is like...
Now, you're from the College of Engineering, Architecture, and Technology. We have College of Veterinary Medicine, College of Arts and Sciences, all these disciplines. And this is OSU Research on Tap. So from a research perspective,
right.
For a lab scientist, the results of an experiment, a publication... For an engineer, maybe a technology that maybe they patent and transfer into they have these research products. For an architect at a university like OSU, what are your research products?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something that could be actually funny, but it's not. For example, one of my products is copywriting the word explodometric.
Explodometric.
By the way, I copyright. If you use it, you owe me a quarter. But however, like with a name like Muhammad from the Middle, it's problematic. So now, like, please don't use it. But I tell you, it's fascinating. What it is that we actually will come up with new types of imagery. For example, I'm propagating, and I hope it would catch on, is that now it's not called a drawing. It's not called a picture. Feel free to use it, but you would also use, you owe me a quarter. It's called an illumination. This takes skill, a lot of skill, and it takes time. This one, if I was sick and I did not complete the other part, for example, Seth could come and he can just actually finish it for me. And that's important for the office, and that's because somebody needs to finish the drawings. This one right here is like, hey, Seth, it's COVID-19, please help me. It's like, oh, you're on your own, buddy. Because there is no way his stroke is gonna match mine. Until the invention of optics that happened in Holland, in the Netherlands. It's amazing. Leeuwenhoek, oh my God, that's brilliant. I cannot believe I remember that, the microscope. And all of a sudden, we will be able to actually do optics that are capable of projection. And you're probably wondering, it's like, you know what? Even the work of Leonardo da Vinci, sometimes the nose is off. And believe me, it's not on purpose. It's like, I don't know, it's a mistake. All of a sudden, the work of Vermeer and the Dutch masters, it's perfect. And believe me, it's not like we acquired a lot of skill. It's like, no, they're using optics. Like, it's called, not camera obscura, camera lucida. It's fantastic. I'm not joking. It's amazing. You'd be able to project what you see on a piece of canvas. So they will make a setup. And everything had changed. In addition to that, there was a person, his name is Brunelleschi, during the Renaissance. And he was very familiar with the work of, actually, he is an Arab scientist in Iraq. His name is Al-Hazan. That's the name of Al-Hazan in Latin. He made the book called The Optics. And he just said, you know what the Greeks think about how people see is faulty. None of us actually shoot rays from our eyes. What we do is we receive. And he invented, he did not actually discover. Many says he invented, nobody invented nothing. He discovered linear perspective, which is a way to draw that would mimic the way that we see, but using what it's called linear perspective, made out of lines. Architects jumped on it.
Absolutely.
And that's because we can just use contour drawing. And all of a sudden, the skill associated with making imagery, it went out the aluminum door. And that's not necessarily bad, and that's because not everybody could actually draw. It requires you to be interested and go through like Jedi training so that you'd be able to do it, if that makes sense.
Well, speaking of Jedi training, so how do you pull students into this? How do you bring your students into your work, into your research, into your practice?
Some of them are here. Threats. No, not at all. Let me tell you, I do my best. I actually teach through my involvement with them through social media. It's very important. So what it is that I actually do it, and I do it with them, and many of them actually, they take extra classes with me so that they can learn, which makes me so happy. And that's because, for example, anybody here from OU?
Anybody from OU, and we'll admit
I'm not going to say anything bad, but for example, over there, they don't teach hand drawing, and that's because there's nobody here to teach it. It's just, they just abandoned it, which is bizarre. And then all of a sudden, that goes away. Whenever it goes away, its importance within the profession goes away, which makes me very sad. And that's because a person of letters, psychologists, sociologists, writers, their media is the written word. It will never go away. Even the computer, you know what it's doing? It's writing letters. Yeah. But with computers and architects, I am very scared that the inventors of the software are taking control of what the architects used to be in charge
right.
of. And that makes me very sad.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Bill Basie. Every month, our Research on Tap event showcases yet another OSU researcher with a great story to share. You can find out about future OSU Research on Tap events and attend them live. Just follow us on Facebook or go to research.okstate.edu. And you can view our archived installments at OSU's streaming platform, Inside OSU. Just go to the insideosu.com, click on Shows, and scroll down for Research on Tap. And that's it for this episode. I'm Dr. Kenneth Sewell. Join us next time for another Inside OSU podcast.